So I want you to imagine for a moment that you work for a human resources department and are looking to find a new employee. You've narrowed the search down to two equally qualified candidates. Both look good on paper and both have done well in their interviews. And then you get to those two questions that so many of us hate to hear when we're in interviews. Tell me, you say, some of your strengths. Well, both candidates mumble something about their strong work ethic and their being a team player. And then you say, tell me about your weaknesses. Well, the first candidate thinks for a moment and then says, I guess I can't really think of any. The second one pauses and replies, oh, there are too many to mention. Which of those would you hire? First one? Second one? Yeah, me too. Because all of us have flaws, failings, weaknesses, or as we often said it in seminary, growing edges. I believe that if you ask people to privately, secretly make a list of their strengths and their weaknesses, most people would have more problems with the first, and the second would be a lot longer. Yet knowing that you have these growing edges is a sign of self-awareness. Acknowledging it, admitting it publicly, is a sign of humility, and paradoxically, is a strength. It is a strength to know and name our weaknesses. Yet that's not what our culture encourages us to do. Put your best foot forward. We're told that in one way or another, practically from the time we're old enough to be able to put one foot in front of the other. The dominant culture in our country, and most of the Western world for that matter, celebrates above all things success. We want to be winners at all costs, want to avoid being labeled losers. Certainly in job interviews, but often in so many other areas of our life, we want to project the image of someone who's got it all together. We not only want to look competent and capable, we want to look masterful. I can think of so many situations, and I'm sure you can too, where you've seen this dynamic in action. I remember a really clear moment back when I was doing my internship in Concord, Massachusetts. I was attending my first gathering of UU clergy, and we broke it into small groups for some sharing. I was about halfway through the circle from where it started, and every one of the people before me shared about all the wonderful things they and the congregations they were serving were doing. Success after success after success. Now, I had had a terrible evening the night before, a really awful encounter with a parishioner that had left me sobbing, and I was there that morning wondering and wondering hard whether I was actually cut out for this work. I was scared, and I was hurting, and I shared that because, after all, I'd been told that these circles were a place where colleagues could open up about their ministries and their lives. You may know where this is going. Each of the ministers after me spoke of their pain, their questions, their confusions, the challenges they were facing, their fears. Every single one. And when we got back to the beginning, the first folks asked if they could go again. Afterwards, somebody came up to me and said that they had never seen that happen in a gathering of clergy and thanked me for my being willing to take seriously what we had been saying to each other. It's okay to be vulnerable. Most of us, most of the time, try so hard to hide our hurts, which means, of course, that we're trying to hide our humanness. Because all of us have wounds, all of us have been bruised, all of us have weaknesses, all of us have flaws, all of us have failed. None of us is as perfect as we try to seem, or as we think those people are, the ones we look at and wish we could be like. Well, newsflash, they're looking at other people wishing they could be like them. There's a paradox in all of this, of course. It's a strength to know and name our weaknesses, because our weaknesses can be a source of great strength. Carl Jung is credited with coining the term the wounded healer, although it's an idea that goes back as far as our human history goes. Jung said that it is an analyst's own wounds that lead them to want to help other people with theirs. In fact, no less than Marie-Louise von Franz, Jung's closest colleague, who said that the wounded healer is the archetype of the self and is at the bottom of all genuine healing procedures. My wife and I have been binge-watching Grey's Anatomy, a guilty pleasure if ever there was one. But in thinking about this morning's sermon, I found myself thinking about a scene from the show. Miranda Bailey is an experienced, skilled general surgeon, which means she can operate in just about any of the areas where she might be needed. Well, after assisting on several operations involving children, the chief of pediatric surgery tells her that she thinks Dr. Bailey would make an excellent pediatric surgeon and she should think about specializing. Oh no, Dr. Bailey says, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be any good at doing that. And she went on to explain that last year, her son, her own young child, had nearly died. And that as she watched her colleagues, her friends, frantically trying to save his life, she just stood there and couldn't move. She felt hopeless and like her heart was going to break out of her chest. And she said, I never want to feel that pain again. So you see, I'm not qualified to be a pediatric surgeon. And the chief replied, actually, that makes you uniquely qualified. It's a strength to know and name our weaknesses, to know and name our wounds, because these can be the source of our greatest strength. Our woundedness can be a gift. And it's not just Chandra Rhimes who thinks so. Buddhist teachers like Tara Brach and secular sages like Brené Brown encourage us to realize the power in vulnerability and the dangers of not attending to those parts of ourselves which we'd rather not see and definitely don't want other people to see. In Japanese culture, there's a practice known as kintsugi, in which broken pottery is repaired with lacquer that has been mixed with gold, silver, or platinum, so that the brokenness is highlighted rather than concealed. The cracks speaking to the history of the object as something worth honoring. In the No theater tradition, a beautiful new mask is considered less valuable than one that is old with dents and dings, scratches and scrapes, which show that it has been used. How differently we see things. How differently we see ourselves. How differently would we see ourselves if we honored our cracks, our bruises, our weaknesses, our wounds? How differently would you see yourself if you filled such places in you with gold so that they shone rather than filing them away in the deepest recesses of your own inner closet? There is a strength in naming and knowing our weaknesses. There are gifts to be mined in our wounds, because it is the bruised and broken places in our lives that tie us to one another. Brené Brown says that vulnerability is a glue that holds intimate relationships together. I would say that, in fact, it's what makes truly intimate relationships possible. The words of our chalice lighting were written by the Dutch priest Henry Nouwen in his book, The Wounded Healer. No one can help anyone without becoming involved, without entering with our whole person into the painful situation, without taking the risk of becoming hurt, wounded, or even destroyed in the process. Elsewhere, he asks, who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without taking the risk of experiencing similar pains in their own hearts and even losing their precious peace of mind? In short, who can take away suffering without entering into it? Again, I want to take this a step further and ask, who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without having themselves known such things? I cannot, of course, know exactly what it is that you are going through, what exactly your despair feels like. That's why my chaplaincy training, I was taught never to say, I know how you feel, or to presume understanding by saying, you must be feeling this or that. Yet it is because, and really only because, I have had my own experiences of pain that I can really listen to yours. Not by way of comparison, but of connection. Which is to say that this isn't an invitation to say, you've known pain, so have I. Let me tell you about it. See, we're really all the same. Instead, it should lead us to say, you have wounds, I have wounds too. They'll help me listen to you, to hear your story, to be with you. People of color often complain that liberal white folks often want to share their own stories of their own experiences of oppression, rather than really deeply joining them in the pain that they are experiencing and have for generations. Women have had that experience with men. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people all know all too well straight people who co-opt their pain through too facile an equation of woundednesses. That's not what I'm talking about. Instead, Jung maintained that while the wounded healer is motivated, in part at least, by the awareness of their own wounds, yet they also know that their work is not about their wounds. It's about letting the bruised and battered places, the faults, fears, flaws, failings, be a window through which they can really see the other person. Or better yet, a doorway through which they can walk to join them. Margot told us all a moment ago that there is a deep wisdom in the tradition that sweet, sweet Rosh Hashanah leads immediately into the high holy days, the days of awe, the time of self-reflection, of taking stock of our lives and where we have fallen short. It's not intended to be a time of morbid musing or self-abnegation. Rather, the Jewish tradition recognizes that such self-awareness is the necessary first step in charting a new course for ourselves. And it is essential for us to truly be the loving community we and the world so desperately need. I would encourage each of us to engage in our own reflections between now and Yom Kippur. Even more, when we see clearly those cracks in our lives, why not try filling them with gold and see what happens?